If you walk in there and say, you are so bad, you're always messing up. Always, you always mess up. Then what does that child think? He's messed up. He'll just do it before he thinks, and he can't control himself. But if you tell him, you sit him down and you say, look, Johnny, you knew that we just bought this sofa. And you knew it was precious to us. We didn't have the money to buy it. We believed God for that sofa. And you're not too proud to tell him we didn't have the extra money to buy that. He's 3 years old. He's not stupid. People don't give kids enough credit for their age. It cost us money to buy that. Now, you know that toy that you wanted? Huh? That's precious to you? I'm sorry.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We won't be able to get that now. Because we're going to have to save our money for a little bit and get a new sofa. I know it was precious to you. That got quiet in here. Look at how quiet it got. Bless their little heart. They're going to cry. Where's my scripture back here? It says if they cry, it won't kill them. There is a scripture that says that. I will find it for you. If they cry. Proverbs 19:18. Put it on the screen. I was going to get to it later, but it seems like now's a good time. Proverbs 19:18. Y'all are moving kind of slow. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son while there's hope. Let your soul not spare for his crying. He will cry. But there's hope. You messed up. But you had a choice to make. When a child is that age, they're sensitive. You knew you were doing wrong when you were sewing that sofa, but you did it anyway. You don't have to do bad things. You chose to do that. It was a choice that you made. Explain to them they made a choice to do that.
Yes.
Make them understand that they don't have to choose to do bad.
Amen.
It's very important that kids know that they are choosing to do wrong. It is a choice that they are making. Just like an adult chooses to lie, just like an adult chooses to steal. Every time you discipline your child, you explain to them, you made a choice to do this. You're being punished because of your choice to make the wrong decision. Not because you're a bad person, because you made a bad choice. Distinguish the difference to them. Just like I did that child downstairs. No, you are not a bad person. God never made any bad people. He only made good people. You're a good person. You made a bad choice by doing this. Now, I'm going to sit you back in your chair and you can make good choices from now on. The reason you did this is because you wanted attention. You can get good attention or you can get bad attention. We're going to choose to get good attention from now on. Get choices for their lives. Help them to choose the good choices. You're the parent. Know the good choices from the bad choices. Okay? Let's go forward. The last one, number three. And this is the most important one to me. Is love and leadership. And we were already talking about that just a little bit now. Love and leadership. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. And don't get confused. Don't cut off because of what it says. You'll see more in just a minute. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, and not a brawler, and not covetous. Verse 4. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? The Amplified. Can y'all get it up there pretty quick? Verses 4, the Amplified, 1 Timothy. All right. He must rule his own house well, keeping his children under control with true dignity. What's that next word? Commanding their respect in every way and keeping them respectful. The Living Bible. Can we get it up there? So they can read it with me. I think we have it. Jill, don't we have the Living Bible? Where'd she go? New Living? It may be the same thing. He must have his family. No, not quite the same. He must have his family well behaved, with children who obey quickly and quietly. And verse 8, if you have your Bible there, it'll say close to the same thing. Look at it. The deacons must have, the Living Bible I wrote it in, must have the same sort of good, steady men as the pastors are. So what's a deacon? We talked about it. Anybody that serves the Lord. Helps anybody that serves the Lord. So you must have your family in order. Children that behave. Now this is where it gets confusing to me. The Bible talks about parents not provoking their children. Sometimes I don't think parents take the time to listen to children at all. I've been in situations where kids, I've seen them sitting there trying to talk to their parents and tell them their hopes and their dreams, and the parents just cut them off and say, oh, that's just dumb. Well, it's just their hopes and dreams. Well, who said they're going to go out and do it tomorrow? I've seen the kids change. So what?
Amen. Amen.
You change ever?
Yes.
You ever want this house today and change and want that one tomorrow? Or want this car today and change and decide you like that one better tomorrow? So your adult stuff may, vision of that particular thing may change. Should never cut them off at the hip. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
So they have dreams. Let them talk them. Listen sometimes. Respect your children. Show them respect. And oftentimes, you'll get what the word says. You reap what you sow. Now that does not mean if a child says, no, you can't come in my room, guess what? Duh. Okay, you can pay the house payment this month.
Amen.
I thought I owned this room. Right? Yeah, okay. Thought so. Y'all didn't say amen loud enough over there. Okay. But listen, they're not all dumb. They're pretty smart, most of them. And they do have wise things to say. I listen to them all the time. Take the time to listen to their dreams. Take the time to let them talk. So what if it changes tomorrow? Your style change? Mine has. I might want this house today or this car today or this airplane today, or God changed my mind. Say, this one's better for what you're looking at.
Amen.
We can do that. All right. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Let's read the Living Bible. Young man, do not resent it when God chastens and corrects you. For his punishment is proof of his love. Just as a father punishes a son he delights in to make him better, so the Lord corrects you. The Message Bible says, but don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk. That's a good teenage word, right? Under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. Now, I told you I'd tell you what I got scolded for the other day. We started Week of Increase, and as you all know, most of you know that have kids, since we're talking about kids, I'll go ahead and tell you. I don't know if they're in here this morning. They were here Friday night. Tom and Amy, are y'all in here this morning? Yeah, y'all stand up. Amy don't even know this. Tom and Amy are leaving us. Y'all don't clap. It's not good. No clap for them. They served us well. And I'll say all this without crying, but they served with the kids and have been faithful with your kids. But God is calling them to do some greater things, and they're going to be a blessing. And I'm sowing, and just so you know, I'm sowing them. Yeah, so I can reap, all right? But God dealt with me to do something. And I asked Amy loves me when I do this, to sing during Week of Increase. She really doesn't like me when I do that. But anyway, and the Lord dealt with me to give her one of my St. John outfits. I pulled every other outfit out of my closet but that one. And I sent it, and I had somebody come and get it. Because I like that outfit. And I got in the shower. And I had to call them back and say, come back over here and get this other outfit. And all while I was in the shower, my mind was going. Back and forth. And I was arguing in my mind with the Lord. The whole time. That had nothing to do with the money. I just liked the outfit. Now you're past that, right? But I with the Lord about it. And he rebuked me. He said, you're a fine one. Get up there and tell everybody to do that. Talk to people about giving all the time. Tell them you'll sow anything. Tell them you'll do anything. You won't even give this one outfit to somebody that served you as hard and as well as they have, given everything they've got these last 3 or 4 years, and you won't even give them this one used outfit. Laugh at me. Go ahead. I got out of that shower. I kicked myself in the tail. I saw how quickly I could get it. And I said, go buy you some shoes, too, if you want them. Now, why would God do me that way? Because he knows. After I did it, I thought, you idiot. How many more outfits? You could go today and buy you another outfit if you wanted one. It had absolutely nothing to do with the outfit. It had to do with my stupid flesh and being rebellious and getting my own way. Because when I saw it, I thought of her. And I had been thinking about her for a long time because I thought, that's going to look good on her. It's made, the shape and the colors, and I kept fighting it. And it fit her perfect, didn't it, Amy? Fit her perfect. God disciplines the one he loves, but now I can be set up for the future if I don't do it grudgingly. He disciplined me enough to recognize it. He could have not disciplined me and let me keep that in my closet and not check my heart about it and not learn anything. What would that teach me? But not only that, lose my reward, but not be able to bless them that I love so much. And it may not mean anything to her, but the point of the lesson to me is more valuable than the outfit. But God loved me enough to teach me. And to teach me how far along I was not. In that Growing Up Spiritually series, it's like, okay. You think you're somewhere, but you're not. God disciplines us and does these things because he loves us. He chastens us, you as adults, teens, kids, but you as parents are supposed to be the wiser one that can see the future for your kids and not let them get by with not giving their toy away because they cry. Amen. Because I was crying, I didn't want to give this outfit away. God says, it's okay. No, he didn't say it was okay. He said, get yourself up from here and do what I told you to do. Because he loved me enough to do that. And I knew it was him. I know his voice. And I could not get away from it. The whole time I was washing my hair, you should have seen me. I thought I was going to pull it out of my head. I was mad at myself. It was like, how quick can I get out of the shower? Because I was being rebellious. Rebellious is not a pretty thing. And you parents must help your kids stop that in their lives. It's not okay for a child to say, I don't want to go to school today. And for you as a parent to say, it's okay. You are the parent. You're supposed to say, oh, is that right? Get yourself up out of that bed, get your clothes on, and see how quickly. And because you did that and you made me get you up instead of you getting yourself up, we'll see what we can find for you to do this afternoon. Amen. It's your job to get yourself up. From the time I was probably in the sixth grade, I got my own self up for school, got my own self dressed for school. Nobody came in there and pulled me out of the bed and said, come on, get yourself up, dressed me, fed me. From the time I was 11 years old, I had me and Miss Jill figured out what grade we were in. We lived in Slidell, Louisiana. I was trying to figure out the houses. I had the youth the other night. I told them this the other night. I said, I don't care if you like me or not. One of them said he hated me. That's life. He'll get over it. Or die with it, one. But he'll love me one day. From the time I was 11 years old, we lived in Slidell, Louisiana. My dad worked. My mom worked. How tall are you when you're 11? We had a big yard. It was my responsibility to cut the grass. 11-year-old little girl. We didn't have no boys. We had girls. Three girls. Blonde hair. Now, was that abusive? It's the greatest thing in the world my parents could have done for me. Because when I was done cutting the grass, I felt like I accomplished something. I felt like I had done something. I remember specifically to this day, one day it was hot. I was sweating. They were eating dinner. They said, come in and eat. You can finish it. No way. I'm going to finish this yard before I eat. A sense of accomplishment that kids don't have today. Kids are miserable because they have no sense of accomplishment in their life. They have nothing to show that they've accomplished anything. Grades are not enough. School is not enough. That's a requirement. They must have jobs that require, from the time a child is 3 years old, 2 years old, they must begin to have responsibilities. Amen. Oh, that's young, Miss Phyllis. So what? Pick up your toys. Put your pillow back on your bed. Put your toy soldiers back up. Line your trucks up in a row. A sense of accomplishment. When you have, there's nothing that fulfills your heart. How many of you in here, you know when you've accomplished something? How does that make you feel? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you've done physical labor. But you feel like you've accomplished something. You're tired physically, but you've accomplished something. They have no sense of that. So they're looking for it in other places. They're looking for a sense of accomplishment in sex. In drugs. In alcohol. In rebellion. In going with the wrong people to the wrong place. The accomplishment now that they're looking for is sneaking and getting away with things. That's the sense of accomplishment. You're going to look for accomplishment in one way or the other. It's going to either be in the good choice of things that you've accomplished or the bad choice of things that you've accomplished. But you're going to look for accomplishment because God made us that way. He made us in a sense that we're made to fulfill things. He didn't send us here just to sit and do nothing. He sent us here to serve and to do. And you know yourself, when you've laid around and watched TV all day long and you've accomplished nothing, you feel absolutely miserable. But when you've worked hard and you've finished the task, even just like the boat, how many of you felt a sense of accomplishment when we got that done? Yeah. We finished something. We accomplished something. Kids must have something from the time that they're 2 till the time that they're 22, if they're still at home, that they're accomplishing something. If they don't have it, it's the parents' fault. It's not okay for Johnny to decide, I'm quitting school today. Amen. God gave us parents because he said, you as parents are to train up your children. You're supposed to be the one that's smarter than they are, that can see their future. And know what it'll mean if they quit school. Now, I'm going to step out on a big, wide branch, and then I'm going to step out on the skinniest little limb I've ever stepped out on. I get in tremendous fear to hear all the kids that are being pulled out of school today, when the only people they have around them then are their parents. No discipline from anyone but their parents. At least in school, they have to listen to a teacher. They have to be around other kids. They have to follow rules. They have to be here when the bell rings. They have to wake up in the morning at a certain time. It's not the schooling system that I am so much enthralled about. It's the discipline. And the fact that they have to listen to other people. And they have to get along with other people. And so what? So somebody talks about me. Well, that's life and that's the world. And you have to learn to get along with other people other than just your little 3 people in your family. And nobody likes it and nobody's clapping, but I'm sorry. Yes, the truth is that the school systems maybe not be the most perfect thing in the whole wide world. But we as Christians are going to pull our kids out of the whole school system in the whole wide world and let the world take over the world? No. We should be an example to those people in the school system. We are to go into the world and save the lost. Amen. Not say, okay, there's lost out there, so I'm going to, because I'm in fear. I'm on a skinny enough limb for you now. Save your cards and letters. Are your kids going to go to college? They're going to have to get around people sometime. So what people talk about them? They talk about me. You have to grow up, guys, sometime. And so what if we don't have a perfect teacher and we don't have a perfect school system and we don't have a perfect this? It's our job. We have to pray for these things. Amen. It's our job to make these things the way that we want them to be. Maybe Branson's schools are not perfect. Maybe Nix's schools are not perfect. Maybe Ozark schools are not perfect. Maybe Reed Springs schools are not perfect. Maybe there has been shootings in schools. But the more we open our hearts and our lives to the fear that these things are going to happen in the schools, the more they're going to happen. That's right. But the more that we as Christians take authority over these things and go in full force, and we say, as long as we're there, these other kids are protected. Amen. We are the force that saves every child in this school. The moment our kid walks in this school, every child in this school is protected, because our kids are in this school, and no demon in hell is big enough to take authority over this school because our kid is in there. And we prayed over our kid. And they're protected now. Okay, so they can't go into a mall anymore because there's shootings in malls. How many of you teens are going to stay out of a mall because there's a shooting in a mall? But you're willing to stay out of school because it's a good excuse. How many of you parents are going to refuse to let your kids go to the mall because somebody got shot in a mall? How many of you are never going to go to a mall again? This man hopes he never has to, he said. Do you understand my point? We as Christians have authority in these areas. And if we open the door to fear, the whole world will be run by fear. But if we get up in the mornings and we take authority every day that Brandy goes to school, I pray. And I say, every time she sets foot in that school, no one can set foot in that school to harm any child in that school. So Branson's school is protected. Yeah. Nobody's going to come in there. How many of you go to Branson school? So everybody that goes to that school is protected. Maybe they're not the best teachers. So what do? We get in there and we say, these teachers have the mind of Christ. They don't even know the smartest things to teach, but God gives them the mind of Christ, and they are some of the best teachers that anybody's ever taught before. We get the best teachers in Branson. Amen. Because I have authority to pray that, because she's in there. Do we want the world just to win? Are we going to quit having kids? And parents have all this excess time in the world to spend with their kids, that they have all this excess time to not only do the times of things that they want to do, that they've got all this excess time just to keep them at home now. Keep your cards and letters. I am not against homeschooling, so don't tell me that I am. It's just seemed to me like there's been a fear. If God told you to homeschool your kids, that is one thing. Now understand the difference. God telling you to homeschool your kids and you getting in fear and homeschooling your kids. Are you getting upset because of something happening at school that you didn't like and staying home? There's a big difference between being led and fear. Big difference between the two. I'm no fonder of fear in any area of my life than I am in the homeschooling area. You understand what I'm saying by that? You don't give in to fear. You don't give in to people talking about you, so you quit school. You don't give in to lazy, so you quit school. Those are not reasons to quit. Parents, those are not reasons to quit. Did God tell you? Repeat this after me. Did God tell me to homeschool my children? If he didn't, you really need to check it out. You could be missing God. That's the only reason. I am not against it. I am against missing God. There's a big difference between the two. Okay? Now, I'm still out on that limb, but we'll be all right. All right, Proverbs 29:17. And I know, yeah, I know what time it is. Y'all want to, everybody want to look so you'll be sure you know? I only get these chances every once in a while, and this stuff's pretty serious. If you need to go, I won't be offended. I'm pretty secure. Can you tell? I want the kids helped. It's very, very, very important to me that our kids be helped. And I love our kids. I do. And it's so important that they get what they need to get and that they don't have to go through the test and the trials that the world does. It's not reasonable that we should have to suffer the way the world suffers. And we should be able to avoid the traps that the devil sets for the world. And there's ways to avoid it. So let's do it. Okay? Proverbs 29:17, and we're getting close. Correct your son, and he shall give you rest. He shall give you delight in your soul. Or daughter. Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son, and he will give you happiness. That's the Living Bible. And peace of mind. The New Living. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. Message Bible. Discipline your children, and you'll be glad you did. Listen to the next part. They'll turn out to be a delight to live with. Amen. You ever seen kids just screaming and hollering and kicking in the grocery store? Are they a delight to live with? Who's the most miserable? The kid. You're confused. It's not the parent, it's the kid. The child is the most miserable. They're not even happy. I have seen it. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times. Dave can verify it. Tom and Amy can verify it. Different ones. I have corrected more kids and gotten more love from them than ones not corrected. Kids do not like to see how far they can go. They are the ones least confused by the fact, if you love me, you will correct me. They are the ones, let me repeat that, least confused by the fact, if you love me, you will correct me. Are you guys confused by that fact? If your parents love you, what will they do? Do your parents love you?
Yes.
Do most of them correct you?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. Do you get mad when they do it?
No,
ma'am. That's what I thought. They're honest? Hey. Some of them do, some of them don't. We talk about that. Some of them slam doors. We ask them how much further that gets them. They say, grounded more. So, all right. Let's see. Let's skip a couple of things here for time's sake. Proverbs 19:18. Let's look at that. The Lord told Keith something when we started the church here, and it's the same thing that applies. You remember he said it recently again the other day. If you're always giving into people who is in charge of the church. You remember he said that? Same thing with you parents. If you're always giving in to your kids, who is in charge? You don't have to be mean. Brandy's been with us how long now? Brandy, I'm off and on for over a year now. And we don't yell. We don't yell. Do we yell? It's been some pretty difficult times, but we don't yell. We don't have screaming matches. If you yell at your children, you're coming down to their level. You're confused about who's in charge. They've won. If you are yelling with your children, they won. You're confused about who's in charge. You tell a child, teen, youth, the answer is no. They stomp. They pout. Then it's no twice. But you don't understand. If I tell them no, then I have to put up with them all day long. I'd rather just tell them yes. Big mistake. Then you'll have to tell them yes from now on. So they stomp and they get mad. I told the youth this, and I'll tell you, I told them that Wednesday night they wasn't going to like me too much after this morning, but they'll still love me anyway. Like I said, Wednesday night, if they don't, they'll have to get over it. God will forgive them. Grounding youth and telling them to go to their room is a mistake. For them to go in there and turn on their stereo and pout is teaching them to yield to the flesh. Amen. Now they really love me. They should be made to have responsibilities as punishments. Amen. Okay? So, you stomped your foot and you slammed your door. Which one of y'all was it got the door taken off that time? They won't admit it. Okay, yeah, he's going to admit it. Got his, a couple of them, I think, got the door taken off their bedroom. Smart parents. Smart parents. They slammed the door. Parents fixed it for them. Wise parents. No more slamming doors. So they pouted. Brandy, are you allowed to pout? No, ma'am. Pouting is yielding to the flesh. It stops immediately. We don't pout. Pouting is yielding to the devil. We don't yield to the devil. Now, remember, we got to go back to step number one. Like father, like son. How do we change these things? We stop pouting ourselves. Okay? We stop yelling ourselves. We stop slamming doors ourselves. We stop doing the things ourselves that we don't want them to do. We start treating them with respect. They start treating us with respect. It's amazing how God can work with that. Responsibilities not locking in a room where they can listen to things that they shouldn't be listening to. And they're going to really like me for this one. Go through their record collection.
Yes. Yes.
Blow kisses at me, everybody. There's some junk out there. And it will make them depressed. We've talked about it. Most of these guys are not that way. They know. We've discussed it. It'll make them sad. It'll make them happy. It'll make them... They know it. They're smart kids. These are some of the brightest kids you'll ever want to see. Smartest, sharpest. Give them credit. They're watching you. Okay? But if they're smart, they'll turn over their record collection to you, the ones they know is not right. But do not continue to let kids rule the house. You've seen it on TV lately. It's like the going fad of kids ruling the house and all these talk shows. The kid is ruling the house, and we don't know what to do about it. You don't have to beat children. Anybody that's beating their kids, let's see where Jack is. Jack, where are you? Come on down, Jack. Where's Harry? Where's Jeremy? We got about four or five pretty good-sized guys in here. I'm going to send them over to your house and see if they can't help you stop beating your kids. Now, I'm not talking about you spanking your child because they did something wrong. I'm talking about the word beating is different than spanking. There's a major difference between the two. You don't have to do that. If you're to that point, you've gone too far. You've let it go too far, and you're taking your frustrations out on your kid. If you do it right, by the time a child is 2 or 3, 4 years old, they already know right from wrong. It should be, you know, few and far between. All right, let's go to Proverbs 12. Now, let's go to this one. The kids, the youth love this one. It's their favorite one. Deuteronomy 21, listen at them, 21:18. It's the youth's favorite scripture. Everybody wants to know what the Bible says. What does it say about your kids and how you're supposed to discipline your kids if they are rebellious or they act up? What are you supposed to do to them? Is there any scripture in regards to that? It's the youth's favorite scripture. Deuteronomy 21:18, let's put it on the screen and we'll all read it together. If a man or a woman has a stubborn and a rebellious son or daughter, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken to them, what do you do? Call somebody. Then his father and his mother shall lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son, our daughter, and they are stubborn and rebellious and will not obey our voice. And he's a glutton. He sits around and eats and drinks all day long. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die, that he shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now that's pretty traumatic, wouldn't you say? The youth thought so. I asked him who wanted to volunteer to be the example. Why would that be in the Bible? As an example, what is the Old Testament? It's an example for us in the New Testament. We're not going to stone our kids. Not today, anyway. Some of you may have felt like it. But they did that so that the rest of the kids would fear and not do the same thing that the other kids did and think that they could get by with it. Why do kids do what they do today? Because they know they can. Every person, young and old and middle-aged, adults and seniors and kids and grandmas and grandpas and cousins and friends, do exactly what they know they can get by with. With their bosses, with their churches, with their friends, with their neighbors, with their husbands, with their wives. They do what they know they can get by with. Kids will be no different. They know when. Do y'all know when to hook with mom and ask her, can you do something? When she's in a good mood. Do y'all know when to show your grades if they're bad? When she's not paying attention. They know. They're not dumb. They know exactly what to do and when to do it. They're not confused. There must be adjustments made to save their lives. I care enough about them that their lives be spared. I know you care enough about them that their lives be spared. Right? But you got to care enough about it not to take it out on them. Where does it start? If we don't change, then how do we expect anybody else to change? It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Proverbs 13:24. And I think we'll be done. I like it in some of the other translations better. The Living Bible says, and this is my favorite, if you refuse to discipline your son, it proves you don't love him. For if you love him, you will be prompt to punish him. Or the English, if you don't punish your son, you don't love him. If you do love him, you'll correct him. Put plain and simple. Did God love me when he corrected me about not giving that outfit? Did he? Do you love your kids enough to put everything that you have going aside, even though you're busy, even though it is annoying that you have to deal with it, even though you don't want to deal with it, even though you've dealt with it for 62 times? Has God ever dealt with you about the same thing 62 times? It's tiring. But do you love them as much as you say you do? Parents say they love. I love my child too much to spank them. Then you're smarter than God. Because God said you didn't. Or to discipline them. I love my child too much to have to make them get up and go to school. No, you don't. Or you'd care about their future. God made you the parent for a reason. Because you have foresight. They have instant sight. They only care about now. How it feels right now. How this makes my flesh feel here, now, today. I want this money now. I want how this boy makes me feel now. They don't see that they could have kids of their own in 5 years from now or 10 years from now and how it's going to make them feel. You see that. You're the parent. They may be mad at you for a week, but they better not be mad at you at my house. They better get over it real quick. It's not good to harbor that kind of stuff. You say, well, how do you stop it? Anybody want to know that?
Yep.
You make them stop it. You're the parent.
Amen.
It's not okay. You're the parent. You don't argue. This doesn't go on here. So they get mad and they slam their door. So you remove the door. So they stomp their feet. So then they get to sweep, or they get to mop, or they get to do the dishes. Or they get to wash the car, and they don't do it right, so they get to do it again. And they do it sloppily, so they get to do it again. And by the time they do it for the 26th time, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and they have to get up and go to school the next day, and you're tired of fooling with them, and maybe you had to stay up all night with them to make sure that it got done. Well, when you do this for a week, the next week it might get easier.
Amen. Amen.
And the next week it gets easier.
Amen.
And the next week it gets easier. So they didn't clean the toilet right with the toothbrush this time. I'm not laughing. You told them to clean their room and they didn't. So what do? Clean it for them? No. No. They clean their room. It's not optional, guys. There's been too many options. You go clean your room. And you do it till it's clean. So they stomp their feet. No, they don't stomp their feet. They go clean their room and you stand there with them till they do it. So you're busy and you've got other things to do. It's so much easier when you start this when they're 3 instead of when they're 20. And so they don't do it. Oh, great. So you want a car? You want money? Yay. You want to go on a date? They love me really a lot now. You need something? Your friends want to come over? Great. As soon as the whole house is cleaned out, you didn't get your room. Now you get to do the whole house. Along with your room.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I'm mean and I'm hard. But that's the way God disciplines me. What did He tell me to do when I didn't give the outfit? Buy the shoes. I didn't make it up. Amy, did I call you and tell you to buy shoes? Go buy shoes. That's the way God disciplines me. You didn't do this? Okay, do this now. He's not confused. If you're rebellious, you straighten it up. I love your kids. I want them to succeed. I want them to have the very best. I want every child sitting in these chairs to have a brand new car to drive before you do.
Amen.
Brand new. There's no reason why they can't. I know their faith. They're believing. They're expecting, they're sowing, and they can have it. If they keep up doing what they're doing, that you better watch out. They'll have it. You'll be wondering what happened. Adam, you got a new truck, didn't you? Pretty new truck. Yes, sir. Our kids are coming up, and they're coming up fast. And they keep doing what they're doing. They're going to accomplish and do great things for God. We raised our hands in there the other night. How many of them had a call on their life? Many, many, many of them. So why wouldn't the devil try to attack? He would. But we as parents have to recognize that and not let them get off course and not let them get off track and not let them get pulled aside by other things that the devil would throw at them. We must help them to stand. We must help them to be firm. We are to be their foundation. We are to be their example. We are to be their, help them be their rocks. All right? Let's stand up and thank God.